This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dave Wasserman is the U.S. House editor at the Cook Political Report. That's online at cookpolitical.com, and he joins us on the long line from his office in Washington. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Coy. I'm going to keep listening for some tickets.
Yeah, I bet you want to go. Dave Wasserman, of course, formerly of the UVA Center for Politics and a graduate of Mr. Jefferson's University, now a resident of Washington, D.C. Dave, you're just back from New Hampshire, right?
Yeah, and what a time I had. I mean, I have never been thrown for more of a loop than I was by this election result in New Hampshire. I was so confident that Obama was going to run away with a 10-point victory that I hit the slopes on election day, and then we got back to headquarters to watch some results, and wow, everyone had egg on their face.
Well, let's talk about the Barack's second place there, although was it really second place in that didn't he get just as many delegates as Hillary Clinton got out of that?
Yeah, you know, the underreported story of the election season to date has been the actual delegate counts, which is what's going to determine the nominees on both sides. I think now people will start paying a little bit more attention to that tally rather than the polls, because momentum can change so fast. In the end, people want more delegates than survey respondents.
Why do you think the polls were so wrong, Dave?
Well, there are a couple things at work from my perspective. First of all, I think Obama got a huge bounce that was temporary. People tend to forget the old polls that were taken before Iowa that showed Clinton with a massive lead in New Hampshire. I think some of Obama's surge came back down to earth. The definition of a bounce is that something eventually comes back down after all. The other thing that I observed in New Hampshire, which was only picked up on, I think, in a Matt Bai piece in the New York Times, was the approach that the two candidates had to campaigning in the state. I attended an Obama rally that drew about 3,000 people to a high school in Derry, New Hampshire, on the Sunday before the election. I went to a Hillary event about 2 hours after that in a different part of the state. What I noticed is that the 3,000 people in the Obama room, they were there at a rally, but they were undecided. And a lot of them felt unmoved by Obama when he said to the audience, you know, my job is really to persuade you. He didn't bother taking any questions. And I think a number of New Hampshire residents and voters who were in that room felt a little offended that he didn't engage them a little bit more. In the end, he actually got fewer votes in that town than the number of the people that turned out to hear him that day, which is staggering. And then we went to a Hillary event a couple hours later. You know, certainly it's impractical to take a lot of questions with a big crowd, but the very gesture of taking questions, I think, is what's important to voters there. And the fact that she did engage her audience and go into some detail, even if she wasn't as moving as Obama, was worth something.
And we're talking with Dave Wasserman, House editor at the Cook Political Report, formerly of the UVA Center for Politics. And Dave, was that the event when you said where Hillary took questions? Was that the event where the woman said, how do you do it, Hillary? And the woman who ended up voting for Barack Obama, nonetheless. But was that the event you referred to?
Actually, during that event, I was up on my way to the tiny hamlet of Dixville Notch. But this was the Sunday before the election. And after the debate, I think things really did shift a little bit after her statement in the debate that a question regarding her likability hurt her feelings. She was very playful in her answer, and she started to show some emotion that carried on through to Election Day. I think that helped her, and the polls were taken earlier than that movement. So it's possible they didn't catch that.
Dave, why is all of a sudden there's so much talk about race and the fact that Barack Obama is African-American? All of a sudden, there's just every headline you look at, it's all about race and infighting among the Democrats.
Sure. Well, you know, we're focusing on concerns that are not central to major issues of the day, because there really aren't very many issue differences between the candidates in terms of ideology, at least in the Democratic race. We're seeing more of that in the Republican race. So in the Democratic race, the talk really comes down to style, comes down to heritage. It comes down to a variety of other sort of ancillary concerns that don't really speak to the candidates' positions on issues. They speak more to their approach. And I think the differences between Obama and Hillary are very stylistic. I think a lot of the stories with regard to race and Martin Luther King that we've heard in the last couple of days are simply overblown and won't have much of an impact on the results that we're seeing. This is coming down to really a race between a fresh face with less experience in Washington and someone who's been there for a long time and sort of appeals to the nostalgia of the 90s in terms of getting something done, especially on the economy.
David Wasserman is the U.S. House editor at the Cook Political Report, online at cookpolitical.com. Dave, now let us turn our attention to John McCain's stellar victory in New Hampshire. All of a sudden, from the guy who was rarely mentioned when we were talking about Republican candidates, unless you wanted to talk about, you know, his campaign and basically imploding and people leaving him, all of a sudden now everybody's talking about John McCain and how he's going to do so great in South Carolina.
Yeah, well, you know, we're guilty. At the Cook Political Report, reported back during the summertime that with regard to McCain's campaign, the surgeons had left the operating table and the executors were taking over the estate. But right now we're seeing sort of a Lazarus-like comeback on McCain's part, and you got to give him credit. Here's a guy who's firing or departure on the part of staff back in the summer probably helped him. He has a streamlined campaign. All it does for him is basically schedules his campaign appearances. He has a really tight-run media ship, and it's not bloated like some of these other campaigns. He does what he does best, which is to do town halls, and the media has really come back to him over the course of time. It's really, I think, a testament to the sort of the flavor of the week nature of the other campaigns on the Republican side, and McCain's ability to really stay the course in this race and not be really sort of affected by the bad stories that were coming out about his campaign during the summer.
You mentioned that the ideological differences on the left weren't as great as they were on the right. Flesh that out for us.
Sure. Well, fundamentally, Democrats are arguing about details. Who said what about the about Iraq when? But they agree that with regard to Iraq, they're going to aim for troop departure sometime within their first year in office. On the Republican side, we're seeing a lot of more substantive differences between the candidates. McCain is someone with sort of an odd mix of positions. I think there's sort of a column A and a column B on the Republican side, where you have, you know, Rudy and McCain are sort of competing for the very national security-minded folks in the Republican Party, those who place more of a premium on paying dues to the military. And then in column B, we have sort of a fight for the more social-minded conservatives on the Republican side between Fred Thompson, Mitt Romney, and Mike Huckabee. And that's a more crowded race on that side. But I think you'll see some pairing of finishers in South Carolina that might narrow that field a little bit. Say if we have McCain and Huckabee emerge from that race, you know, that could sort of, you know, come down to a championship match in other states. Might force Fred Thompson supporters to think more about rallying behind a candidate like Huckabee, who's more akin to them and their positions on those issues.
Speaking of Fred Thompson, do we expect him to bow out at some point? Or is he going to, like Edwards, is he just going to keep plugging away?
You know, every time we count Fred Thompson for dead, he seems to turn in some sort of debate performance that keeps his hopes slightly alive. But look, his campaign's been on life support since he announced. He's never really been taken seriously because he is someone who has not shown the enthusiasm on the campaign trail that other candidates do. And that is a knock against him. That's probably valid. He has scheduled far fewer campaign appearances and speeches and voter meet and greets as the other candidates. And when you're not out doing that, and you think you can rely on web messages to get your statements out, you know, that really doesn't cut it in the eyes of a lot of early primary voters. And it's these primaries and caucuses that are going to decide nominees, not YouTube.
David Wasserman, formerly of the UVA Center for Politics and now the U.S. House editor at the Cook Political Report. You can read more online at cookpolitical.com. Dave, unfortunately, we're out of time with a billion other things we wanted to talk
sure.
about, but I'll get in touch and we'll set you up another interview here in the near future.
Great. Thanks so much for having me, Corey.
Appreciate it, Dave. Take care.
Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.